Bible says this, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As in the earthy, such as they also that are earthy. And as in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought past to the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. God, thank you for what awaits us one of these days. And Lord, we are excited about, Lord, the life you give us to here to live on earth. But God, we can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. So we want to venture into your word tonight and look at a few things. I pray that you'd help us, speak to us, and then use it to motivate us to be better for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, a little bit of what we're going to talk about tonight. I may have touched on this morning a little bit, but I'm going to give you a couple things, and then we'll lay as the foundation to talk about our resurrection body. Let me give you three words here we're going to consider for a minute. First, we're going to look at the word life, the word death, and the word resurrection. It explains to us here that word life. Talks about the fact that the earthy and the heavenly. And we talked a little bit about this as we've been studying Genesis. But you understand, I've taught you this, that man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. Okay? And in fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And so, when a man is alive, his spirit, soul, and body are united. Now, if he's not a Christian, as I've taught you, he's dead spiritually. But when a person gets saved, all three parts come together to form the human body, the human life. So body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So that is what life is considered. Okay? Body, soul, and spirit. Then we see the word death. And again, death does not mean annihilation or unconsciousness. Death simply means separation. That's what the Bible definition for death is. So when a person dies, they are simply separated. All right? Now, if you are saved and you die, you're separated from this life, but you are alive in another life. Okay? If you're lost and you die, you're separated from this life into another life, but you're also separated from God. Okay, in hell. So we see that when a saved person dies, their body goes to the grave, but their soul departs to be with Christ. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Scripture clearly teaches that. And then the Bible talks about the word resurrection. And the Bible talks about two different types of resurrections. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And the first resurrection happens, just where we talked about this morning, at the rapture. Okay, that's what the Bible calls is the first resurrection. And we won't go back and reteach that because I taught that this morning. But then the second resurrection is going to occur after that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And the timeline I explained to you this morning is the rapture. That's the next event on God's prophetic calendar. Then there's the 7-year tribulation. After the 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And the reason he comes back is to set up and establish his 1,000-year millennial kingdom on this earth. Now, again, that's another subject that we'll preach about sometime. And that just in and of itself, that 1,000 years, man, that's going to be awesome what's going to happen during that 1,000-year millennial reign. By the way, as Christians, that's when the Bible talks about ruling and reigning with Christ. That's when the ruling and reigning is going to happen during that 1,000-year millennial reign. And for 1,000 years, I believe, and the Bible teaches this, that the earth is going to be restored, I believe, to its pre-Eden type state. Because think about this for a minute. During the tribulation, the earth is going to be totally decimated, totally. Okay, the earth is, the whole landscape's going to be reshaped. The Bible talks about every island, every mountain's going to flee away. All right, it's not going to be a pleasant place to live for the millennium unless God does something to fix it, and he's going to. Okay, he's going to restore the earth, and for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ is going to be here on earth in body, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and as Christians, we're going to be his helpers. All right, by the way, that earth during that time is going to be repopulated, because there's going to be some people that survived the tribulation, and they're going to go on to have kids, repopulate the earth. And so for 1,000 years, the earth, and probably in a short amount of time, it's going to be back to about the population it is now, maybe more, who knows, okay? But somebody's got to help Jesus carry out order. Okay? And that's where we come in. That's where faithful Christians, the ruling and reigning, is going to come in. And so after that 1,000-year millennial reign, there's another event that happens called the Great White Throne Judgment. And we've taught about that before. In fact, I preached about it 2 weeks ago, last Sunday I preached about it as far as the on our Break the Record Sunday when I preached about the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's where every lost person stands before Jesus Christ, they're judged according to their works, and then they're cast into the lake of fire. Okay? That is what's known as the second resurrection. That they are raised, every dead person that's lost is raised at that time. The Bible says death and hell give up the dead which are in it. Okay? So think about this for a minute. Hell is not the permanent place people go for all eternity. Hell is simply like a jail, if you will. Okay? It's a temporary holding place until they stand before God and then they're cast forever into the lake of fire, which the lake of fire is not the same as hell. Two different places. Okay? And they're cast forever into the lake of fire, and the Bible says that's the second death, and that's the second resurrection. That's why the Bible says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Amen? So to make sure you're part of the first resurrection, you got to make sure you're saved. Okay? And so those are the gist of what he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But then he goes into detail about these new bodies that we're going to receive. And that's going to be the crux of our Bible study tonight, the resurrection body. All right, so let's get into it. I want to give you a few things about the resurrection body. First of all, our mortal bodies must die before we are to receive our resurrection body. Okay? Now, obviously, the exception to that, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is the rapture. But look what he says back in our text in verse 36. He says this, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, listen to this, except it die. Okay, verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. So what he's doing here is he's using an example to teach us about these resurrection bodies. Now, we live in the agriculture community, and we understand, a lot of folks put out gardens, we understand how it works. When you have when you put a seed in the ground, you don't put a whole stalk in the ground. Like, for example, corn. All right? When you're planting corn, you don't plant a whole corn stalk. You plant a corn seed. Okay? Now, inside of that seed is life, is that stalk. But in order for the stalk to come forth, in order for the seed to produce, you know what has to happen? The seed has to die. Okay? In and of itself. So it has to basically give its life so the stalk can rise out of it. Okay? And that's the way this works with our new bodies. Okay? Every corn has two bodies. It's got the seed body, it's got the stalk body. Okay? But it can't have both at the same time. And so that's the way it is with our new bodies. Our mortal bodies must die in order for us to receive our resurrection bodies. For example, you look at, we got two exit lights, okay, in the church here, all right? And so those exit lights, they are a light that is used to illuminate an exit. Now, inside of that exit light, what that does, if the power goes out, then the light still stays on because it's got an alter power source inside of it, okay? And so, like, for example, emergency lighting. You've seen that before, emergency lighting, where maybe up on the wall you have a light, but they don't come on. All right? They don't need to come on because there's already power flowing. But if the power gets cut, boom, the emergency lights come on. Follow me on that? Well, that's kind of the way it works here. It's like God says, all right, you're going to have a resurrection body, but in order for that to come on, just like emergency lights come on, your physical body must first die. Okay? And so that's what the Scripture is teaching here. All right? Now, remember this. All right? You're going to live somewhere forever in a body, as I mentioned this morning. You're not going to be an orb of light floating around heaven. You're going to live there. You're going to have a body to live in. You're going to be able to see and hear and to move and to talk. I mean, you're going to experience things in heaven. I believe our senses will be heightened in heaven, not even lessened or even the same. Okay? And so our mortal bodies must die before we receive the resurrection body. Number two, here's the second thing I'm going to give you. There's a difference between our physical bodies and our resurrection bodies. All right, now God explains this here in a couple of verses. Look back in verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now he uses some example here. All flesh is not the same flesh. And he used the example of men, human flesh, beast, birds, fish. Okay? So we understand that. Okay? God gives certain of His creation different types of bodies based upon the type of creation they are. Okay? I mean, listen, animal skin is not the same as human skin, right? Fish scales aren't the same as bird skin. They're different, although they all have a body. They're all served for a certain purpose. So he used that as an example to explain the difference between, here's the two words, celestial and terrestrial. Now, if you look up those words, they mean a couple things, all right? The word celestial speaks of heavenly. The word terrestrial speaks of earthly. Okay, so there's two types of bodies, two different kinds. So the physical body, there's a difference between it and the resurrection body. Now listen, they're both just as real. Okay? Right now, God's given us the terrestrial or the earthly body to live in, but one of these days, we're going to have a heavenly body. Okay? By the way, it's similar to the one we have now, except a whole lot better. All right? And God chooses, as I mentioned this morning, to use an aspect of these physical bodies to create our heavenly body. Now, why is that? Well, the Bible also talks about, makes reference to the point that we're going to be known as we were known. Okay, so it means we're going to be recognizable. Okay, you're not going to now. I don't know that I have. I'll tell you right now. This is opinion, not scripture. Okay. Somebody asked me the other day. They said, "Are there going to be kids in heaven?" All right, that's a fair question. Maybe you've wondered that before. Okay. Let me tell you what I personally believe based upon some premises or some things the Bible teaches. I think in heaven we're all going to be complete. All right. Think about this. When God made Adam, He didn't make him a child, allow him to grow up. Right. He created him in his mature form. And so I believe in heaven we're all going to be in a mature form. I believe we're all going to be in like a mature adult type form. For example, Christ, when Jesus died, how old was he when he died? He was 33, right? He was in the mature adult form. And so I personally believe, based upon some things that I believe the Scripture alludes to, that we will all be in that type of, if you want to say, age, if you will. Okay? I personally believe there won't be children in heaven. I think they'll be mature. I don't think there's going to be super old people in heaven. I think we're all going to be mature. But according to the Bible, I believe we're going to be recognizable. Okay? Because we know that's true because when the rich man died, he recognized Abraham. He knew who he was. He was recognizable. Okay? And so there's a difference between our earthly bodies and our heavenly bodies. Now listen, it's no problem with God to make different things, our bodies to do different things. I mean, listen, it shouldn't surprise you. I know when I say these things, you're like, man, that sounds sci-fi. That sounds like Star Trek or Star Wars. Listen, it's not impossible for God to do these things, folks. He's the one that made us. For example, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God allowed their physical bodies to withstand the heat of the fiery furnace and not burn up. Not only did they not burn up, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And God was able to do that. So God can do anything He wants with our bodies. And so Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians 15 that there's a difference between the terrestrial and the celestial. All right, there's a difference there. All right, now, let me get into some things that'll really, I believe, be an encouragement to you. Here's the next thing I want to show you here from verses 40 through 42. You can help determine the glory of your resurrection body. Okay, I'm going to show you what the Scripture teaches here. You know, some people have this philosophy. Well, as long as I get to heaven, then you know what? That's all I care about. Well, let me say this. Going to heaven's definitely going to be better than hell. Okay? I mean, no doubt about it. No question about it. But I will say this. Not every Christian is going to enjoy heaven the same. Okay? I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. The Scripture teaches this. Look at verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Listen to this verse. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Okay, now listen, just like today, no two people are alike. All right, it's true that a lot of our physical appearance is the result of things we didn't choose from. I mean, we resemble our parents. All right. Sometimes you may even have particular motions or habits that carry on from your parents. Like, for example, I mean, me and my dad have the same feet. All right. If you see my dad's feet and my feet, they look exactly the same. I think only Elias is the only one out of all of our family that has my feet, okay? And then, like, for example, Faith, if you look at her hands, they're just like her mom's hands, all right? They're long and slender and real skinny fingers, and that's why she's such a good piano player, because she's got the fingers for it. And we understand that. Certain character traits that are passed for genetics, okay? And you know what? That's also true. Now I'm sorry, that may be true in our physical bodies as far as the character traits are passed on. We may not have had a say so on how our physical appearance is. But let me say this. We have everything to do with the glory of our future body. Okay, and I'm going to show you some scripture on this. The Bible says that in heaven, we're going to be clothed in light. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43 says this. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Okay, the Bible talks about our new bodies able to shine. Okay? Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 is an interesting verse. It says this, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So what the Bible's teaching us here is that the glory of our resurrection body, the brightness, if you will, of our resurrection body is going to be determined based upon our labor on earth. Okay, here's what I believe. I believe that you're going to be able to look at a person in heaven and know how much they love Jesus Christ on this earth. Based upon, because the Bible talks about how that we're rewarded according to things done in our body. Okay? So if what these verses are telling us, that according as we serve the Lord, according as we turn many to righteousness, that our bodies are going to shine, I believe the opposite of that's true also. That if we don't do things that we're supposed to do for the Lord, and that if all we care about as Christians is ourselves, that our bodies aren't going to shine as bright. Okay? And that goes back to what we talked again this morning, the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to this. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Listen to what he said. He said, there's some things in heaven you're going to receive in your body, the things that you did in your body on earth. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, there's some things you're going to receive. That's interesting there. Okay? Because the mentality of a lot of people is like, well, I'm just going to get to heaven and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, listen, you want to make sure as a Christian you've done what you're supposed to do. Because part of our heavenly reward will be reflected on how bright you're going to shine for all eternity. I don't think people's going to have to ask you how much you love the Lord. I think they'll be able to look at you and tell how much you love the Lord. I think some Christians, they're going to glow like a 500-watt halogen lamp. But I'm afraid far too many Christians are going to shine about as bright as a 40-watt nightlight. Okay? Because they wasted their time on earth. Listen to these verses. Okay? Matthew 10:32. Here's what Jesus said. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, those aren't salvation verses. Those are written to disciples. Those are written toward Christians. And he says, listen, if it's based upon how we live our lives for him on earth. Okay? Literally, you have a chance to impact the brightness, if you will, of your resurrection body. And so it's important, again, that we do what God has commanded for us to do in Scripture. Number four, let me give you some other things here. Your resurrection body is a guaranteed promise. Okay? Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our text here, and in verse 42. And down through verse 44, notice what it says. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so listen, what he's telling us here is, listen, this is going to happen. It is going to be. Your resurrection body is a guaranteed promise. Now listen, that's not the way our bodies now talks about corruption and incorruption. Okay? And that's why when a person dies, within a few days, we have to get them to the cemetery. Why? Because our bodies are corruptible. Okay? They're not going to last once life has exited them. Okay? And so, that's what he's trying to tell us here, is that there's incorruption in our new bodies, and these new bodies are a guarantee. Okay? I mean, if you've been present before when someone's passed, if you stood there, at the foot of the bed or in the presence of someone who has left this life into the next, now, you know, I mean, that's a time where, I mean, there's mixed emotion there. I mean, it's hard to see someone leave this life and go to the next life. But you know, aren't you thankful that a person that's saved and that body that's kept them a prisoner? I mean, folks, our people suffer, or some of our folks suffer even now. I mean, I know Miss Carol's not here tonight. She's not feeling good. Brother Bill Clark texted me before the service, and he's at the hospital tonight with chest pain. And of course, my dad's been in and out of the hospital, and it's hard to see people and their bodies are breaking down on them, okay? But listen, thank God for this new resurrection body, okay? And I'm telling you, it's real. You're going to get it one of these days, amen? It's something that's a guaranteed promise from God. I love those verses we read him. It talks about this mortal must put on immortality, all right? It's got to happen, okay? It must happen. And by the way, why is that? Okay? Why is this a resurrection body a guaranteed promise? Well, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You can't go to heaven in this body. It's impossible. Because this body cannot, it's not made to live in that environment. Okay? Just like there's certain animals, like polar bears, for example. Okay? Why can polar bears live in the Arctic and live in the places where it's so cold like that? And let's say, for example, regular domestic animals like maybe a dog or cat can't live there. You know why? Because their bodies are made to live there. God, they know how to adapt to that based upon how God made them. Listen, it's the same way with our physical bodies. These physical bodies cannot live in heaven because there's no way that they can't be in the presence of God in these physical bodies. So listen, understand your resurrection body is a guaranteed promise. Here's something else that I want you to think about. You know that lost people also receive a resurrection body? Lost people also receive a resurrected body. In Luke chapter 16, we won't go there and read the whole chapter, but it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know what you notice when you read that story? Even though the rich man was in hell, even though he was dead, he was conscious. even though that he was dead, the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he asked for water to be placed upon the tip of his tongue. Think about that, okay? If he was just annihilated, he wouldn't have felt anything. If he was just annihilated, he'd have no body to live in. But even in hell, he had a resurrection body. Okay? And listen, folks, that's why we do what we do as Christians. That's why it's important that we reach people. We get gospel tracts out. We go soul winning. We try to get people to church to hear the gospel. Because even when a person dies and goes to hell, they're in extreme torment in their resurrected body that they have in hell. Okay? And so, yes, praise God for our resurrected body. We're going to get one of these days in heaven. But also, lost people get resurrected bodies also in hell. Now, let's talk about for a few minutes what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. Okay? And this is so cool because the Bible tells us that we're going to be like Him. So that means that our resurrected bodies are going to be like Jesus' resurrected body. Now this is where it gets a little fun here, okay? What Jesus could do in His resurrected body, I believe we're going to be able to do in our resurrection body. Let me show you what I'm talking about here, okay? Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Bible says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Who was the last Adam? Jesus was the last Adam, okay? And then he goes on to say, howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Okay, so Adam, the human Adam, came first, and then after that, which is spiritual, then the second Adam, who's Jesus, came. The first man is of the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such is they also that are earthy. As in the heavenly, so does also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, listen to this, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Man, that's awesome right there. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Okay? Just as our physical bodies are created, all human bodies are created the same as in Adam, as in flesh, as in when God made Adam and Eve. I mean, we know they look different, obviously, but the bodies are the same. Okay? I mean, when God made human beings, the human body hasn't changed from the day He created it till now. It all works the same. Okay? Just as it worked for Adam, it worked for us, and we're talking about in our human form. Okay? And the Bible says, just as we bear the image of Adam, okay, we're also one of these days going to bear the image of the heavenly, and that means we're going to bear the image of Jesus Christ. Man, that's awesome here. In fact, the Bible goes on to further explain this in 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, listen to this, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So that means our new body is going to be like Jesus' new body that He came back to earth with after His resurrection. Okay? So let's figure out, what did Jesus do with His resurrected body? So if we're going to be like Him, that means if He did it in His body, we're going to be able to do it in our body. Okay? So what is it Jesus could do? Man, you ready for some fun stuff here? Okay. Well, in John chapter 20, we see that Jesus in His body, He could travel extremely fast. And let me explain what I'm talking to here. Remember when Jesus in John chapter 20 resurrected and Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and she thought He was the gardener? Okay? And finally, when He spoke to her, she realized who it was. Jesus said something very interesting to her. Okay? Here's what He said. Let me read it to you here in John chapter 20. Let's see if I can find the place here. He said this, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Okay, what's that mean? Why did He say that to her for? Because there was something Jesus had to do. He had to take the blood and take it to the mercy seat in heaven. Okay? Now, I don't have time to get into all that teaching tonight, but the tabernacle that the children of Israel assembled in the Old Testament, the Bible says it was a shadow of one that was in heaven. So in heaven there was a mercy seat, and the blood had to be applied in heaven on the mercy seat. And Jesus said to Mary, He says, look, you can't touch me yet, because I haven't yet ascended to my Father. And what He had to do was take the blood to the mercy seat. By the way, you ever wondered what did Jesus do for the 3 days that He was laid in the tomb? You ever wonder what He did? The Bible tells us what He did. The Bible says that He descended, okay, to paradise, which was in the middle of the earth, okay, because at that time, when people died before Jesus rose from the grave, they couldn't go to heaven. You know why they couldn't go to heaven? Because the blood wasn't applied to the mercy seat yet. So God had to prepare a special place for them, and that special place was called paradise. Or, in Luke chapter 16, called Abraham's bosom. Remember when the rich man was in hell? It says he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off. Okay? And then he asked Abraham to send Lazarus. So he saw Abraham, he saw Lazarus. To dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue, Abraham said, I can't do it. Between us, there's a great gulf that's fixed. So before Jesus rose, lost or saved people and lost people both went to the center of the earth. Lost people went to the hell side of it. Saved people went to the paradise side of it. Okay, the Bible teaches that. Then the Bible says that Jesus, that he descended to the lower parts of the earth, and he led the captivity, or he set the captives free, is what the Scripture says. So for those 3 days that Jesus was in the grave, he spent his time in paradise. Remember what he said to the thief on the cross? What did he say to him? Today thou shalt be with me. Where? In paradise. So Jesus knew he was going to paradise. Could you imagine the entrance Jesus made into paradise? Them all the Old Testament saints, for all those years, I mean, we're talking about everyone from Abel, the first one to go to paradise, Abel, all the way to the thief that died on the cross. They were all, for those thousands of years, waiting for Jesus to die so they could go from paradise to heaven. Okay? And could you imagine the day that Jesus, I mean, that they've been looking for him for all those years, and finally the day came where here he came, amen? Here he comes. He says, all right, let's get out of here, amen? And he takes him to heaven, all right? What an awesome thing that would have been. By the way, we also know that's true because the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. Okay? So I believe what that means is that when Jesus pulled them out, took them to heaven, that God allowed hell to expand into paradise. And now hell is at the center of the earth. And so when Jesus rose, those 3 days he was in the grave, he led the captivity to heaven and he took him to heaven. But then he had to get the blood to the mercy seat because, folks, listen, it's all about the blood. Amen. The blood had to be applied. So that's why he said to Mary, he said, don't touch me yet. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. In John chapter 20, then we see this in verse 19. Okay. It says this. Then the same day at evening. Okay, so Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave, right? Okay, Mary saw him, a lot of the other disciples saw him. And he tells Mary Sunday morning, he says, Mary, don't touch me, okay? I got to go to the Father. Well, we see this in John chapter 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. So the same day, Jesus went from earth to heaven, and then from heaven back to earth. Okay? And so, the point I was trying to make is this. In order for him to do that, he had to go pretty fast to do it. Okay? Because heaven, we know, is up. It's somewhere in the outside of earth, outside. We don't know exactly where, but we know it's somewhere up there. And so, the same day he went from heaven back to earth. I mean, it took the Apollo spacecraft, it took him 3 days just to get to the closest thing to the earth, and that's the moon. 3 days. Jesus made the whole trip, probably plus further, in just a matter of seconds, probably, minutes, possibly hours. Who knows? We don't know exactly how long. All we know is he could move fast, all right? You thought the Flash could move fast. You ain't seen nothing yet, amen? You ain't seen nothing until you see a glorified body move, all right? And so, that's one of the things the glorified body could do. Here's something else Jesus could do in his glorified body. He could appear and disappear. Now, that's going to be cool, right? Okay? How many of you wish that, you know, traveling was as easy as Star Trek? Beam me up, Scotty, right? Notice it says in verse 19, we just read the verse, that the disciples were gathered together because of fear of the Jews, and it says, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith, peace be still. You think there's a reason he had to say, peace be still? Could you imagine sitting here tonight and all of a sudden, boom, there's Jesus right there? I mean, we'd be freaking, right? Okay? And his disciples, man, here's the guy they just saw die on the cross. All of a sudden, boom, he just appears and he's talking to him. Yeah, there's a reason he said, whoa, calm down, don't get scared, peace be still. Amen? He could appear and disappear. All right, now that's pretty cool. Now I don't know exactly how it's going to work in heaven. All right, but all I know is I believe that just as Jesus could do those things, we're going to be able to do those things. Luke chapter 24, verse 31 tells another story of what Jesus did in His glorified body. It says, "And their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight." Okay, this is the story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. They were walking together. They didn't know it was Jesus they were walking with because He chose to blind their eyes for a little bit. And they were walking together, and then they sat down to eat bread, and as soon as they found out it was Jesus, boom, He was gone. Just like that. He vanished just like that. Now that's going to be cool, alright? And so that's what Jesus could do in His body. Alright, you ready for this one? Okay, you know what also Jesus could do in His body? Man, I'm glad He did this. He can fly. Alright? He can fly. Man, that's awesome. We know that's true because in Acts chapter 1, it says this, "And when He had spoken these things while they beheld Him, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, He went up." They were watching Him. The Bible says He ascended up into heaven. Alright? And we know that's true because one of these days He's also going to descend out of heaven, riding on a white horse. So that tells us that even the horses we're going to ride are going to be able to fly. Okay? And so, man, Jesus could fly in His glorified body. How about this? He didn't need to rest in His glorified body. Okay? You know what it says of God that He never slumbers or sleeps? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 121, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Okay? I'm telling you, folks, what we're going to be able to do in our glorified body is going to be amazing. Okay? And all because we're going to be like Him because of what He did. Now, Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, back in verse 20 through 23, was the first fruits. Let me read these verses to you here. The Bible says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Okay, that meant He is the first one that before others come behind it. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming." Okay? So Jesus sets the example. He's the firstfruits of the glorified body, if you will. And then we're going to come after Him. Okay? And so we're going to be able to do in our resurrection body what Jesus was able to do. Okay, now, I want you to think about a few more things for a minute gives us a reason to believe this, besides the things we looked at. The Bible talks about heaven. There's going to be a new city. It's called the New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21 and 22 describes this city. It says it's going to descend from God out of heaven. Now, let me tell you what I personally believe based upon what the Scripture teaches. Okay, I believe when God... after the thousand-year millennial reign, after the great white throne judgment, after all that's over, that the Bible says that Jesus is making this new city. It's called the New Jerusalem. The Bible goes into great detail describing this city. If you want to read about it, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 21, you can read about it. It talks about its foundations, its gates, and even gives the dimensions of the city. It's a 1,500-mile cube is what it is. It's 1,500 miles long, wide, and high. Now, that's a big city, folks. Okay, 1,500 miles. It's about 1,500 miles from here to down to about the southern tip of Florida. It's about 1,500 miles. That's a huge city. All right, Bible says it's going to descend from God out of heaven. So we know there's going to be heaven. We know there's going to be the new city, the new Jerusalem. And the Bible says God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Alright? And so there's going to be three, if you will. By the way, big surprise, there's three, right? Everything about God's triune. So there's going to be the heaven. I believe there's going to be the new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. Then I believe there's going to be the new earth. And I believe as Christians, we're going to have access to all three. To the new heaven. To heaven, to the new city, and to the new earth. And so we got to have a way to be able to get back and forth, okay? You're not going to need an airplane to get back and forth, all right? You're not going to need NASA to get back and forth. I believe we'll be able to do in our bodies what Jesus did in His body, okay? Also, during that time of that millennium, the Bible talks about how that every year all the nations will come back to Jerusalem. Okay? People are going to have to travel every year back to Jerusalem, basically have a big feast and celebration of Jesus and everything that's going on. Again, We'll be in our glorified bodies at that time. Travel is not going to be the way it is now. Okay, you're not going to need a truck or a car or a plane or anything like that. I believe our bodies, God will make us capable of being able to do those types of things. So that's pretty cool right there. Amen. So if you've ever wanted to be, you know, rip the shirt off, the big S on the chest and take off, you're going to be able to do it one of these days. Amen. And so that'll be cool. So let me give you one more thing here. All right. And this is what we alluded to this morning. Not every Christian has to die in order to receive the resurrection body. Okay? The only exception to death is the rapture. Okay? And those that are alive during that time will be able to receive the glorified body without first having to die. I hope that's us. Amen? Wouldn't that be awesome? All right? And so, and verse 51 through 53 tells us that. And those are the verses we read this morning. I'm not going to reread them tonight. Okay? Our resurrection bodies are going to seal the deal on death for Christians. Verses 54 through 57, the famous verses we read, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin and the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, death is still part of the equation, right? Now, we shouldn't fear it, although it's a reality. Okay? But just because death, even though death has no power, it's still something that's part of the equation. But one of these days, when you get that resurrected body, guess what? No more death. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more pain. No more none of that stuff. Amen? I got a message I preach about things that won't be in heaven. Okay? Ain't gonna be any doctors there. All right? I'm sure, Miss Amanda, you are great at your job, but you're not going to be needed in heaven. Amen? No massage therapy going on. It's all going to be perfect. You ain't going to have to get a massage. You ain't going to have to get an adjustment. You have to get none of that stuff. Ain't going to be no funeral director is going to be out of business in heaven. Amen? Hey, hospitals are going to be no doctors in heaven. All that stuff's done away with. Amen? You ain't going to need it because your body is going to be perfect. All right? And so the resurrection, or the rapture will, and the resurrection body will seal the deal on death for a Christian. Now, all that information I gave you tonight, okay? But let me tell you what all these truths ought to do. I didn't give them to you just to give them to you for knowledge. I gave them to you for a reason, because this great chapter that talks about the resurrection body, talks about the rapture, talks about death being done away with, it closes with one verse. Look at verse 58. The first word of that verse is this, therefore. Now, you've heard a preacher say, you've heard him say it before. Anytime you see a therefore, you need to know why it's there for. Okay? So, all the information we just learned about. Okay? The new body, heaven, the rapture. Because of all that. Okay? You ready? Here's the bit of truth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here's what he says. Now look. You got an awesome future ahead of you, is what he's saying here. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be beyond comprehension. But guess what? You're not there yet. So here's what he says. Therefore, even though all those things are true, while you're alive in this body, on this earth, there's some things God wants you to do. He wants you to be steadfast. That word means settled in your belief, in your faith, in your direction, in your love for Jesus Christ. You need to be unmovable. That means there's certain things you're not going to move on. You're going to hold to. You're going to not let anybody try to change your mind on. You're going to always be abounding. That means you're going to be in excess. It means superfluous. It means to abound, excel. It means to go above and beyond in the work of the Lord. That's what he says. He says, look, you got some awesome things waiting on you, but you're not there yet. But because of these things, you need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why is it? Notice what he says. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's why he says it. Now, why would he say that? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If it didn't go back to what we talked about earlier, that your labor that you do for the Lord isn't what gets you to heaven, but it's going to affect heaven once you're there. Okay? So listen, church, I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody else does. You can't control what anybody else does. You can't control what other Christians do. I mean, I'll be honest with you, sometimes as a pastor, it's a little discouraging when people that you try to work with, you try to help, they seem like they're getting it, and then, you know, they're making progress, and they turn around and take 20 steps back the other direction. It's just like, oh, come on, we worked so hard to get you here. Listen, I can't control any of that. And you can't control any of that. But you know what you can control? What you do. Okay? What you do. And how you live your Christian life matters to God. Yes, it does. It matters whether you obey the Bible. It matters whether or not you do everything you can do as a Christian God wants you to do. I'm telling you, you may not think it matters now, but the Bible says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And down here on this earth, nobody may appreciate you. Everybody, your family may think you're crazy. The people you work with may think you're a religious nut. But it doesn't matter because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm telling you, one of these days, you're going to be thankful you did it. Amen. You're going to be thankful you did it. So let these truths of the resurrection body motivate you for service. Amen. Motivate you. All, even the truth that we talked this morning, the truth of the rapture, the truth of the second coming, the truth of the tribulation, all that ought to motivate us right now. It ought to affect how we live in 2018. Amen? All right? So, it's going to be awesome trading up one of these days, getting the new model, right? I can't wait. Okay? But until then, let's do what God wants to do. And I promise you, 100 years from now, anything we face now isn't going to matter. Ain't going to matter. Okay? All the heartaches and sorrows and everything we're dealing with now that we think is so important, 100 years from now, ain't going to matter when we're in our new bodies, we're in heaven, we're with Jesus, we're ruling, we're reigning. I mean, we're going to have conversations, I'm sure of it. And we'll get together and we'll be like, I mean, can you believe the things that we thought on earth were important? I mean, we really thought having all that money was that important. I mean, look at what we have now. Okay? So live right now, okay, in such a way so that you can enjoy heaven to its fullest. Amen? All right, let's